When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
In today's show, I'll be breaking down the latest Bitcoin technical analysis and quoting the high priest of Bitcoin, Max Keiser. Bitcoin self-custody is respected in El Salvador. The right to self-custody fits in the category of inalienable human rights. All Bitcoin companies should consider moving to Bitcoin country, El Salvador. Also breaking news, the DTCC rules out collateral for Bitcoin linked ETFs. We'll be discussing how this will likely impact the crypto market. We'll also be discussing Republic First Bank has officially been closed by U.S. regulators and the reaction from the crypto community. I'm also going to be sharing with you an AI prediction, which suggests Bitcoin has a 60% chance of hitting $100,000. And speaking of 100,000 price predictions, a Bitcoin raising bull flag formation triggers a call for $100,000 as well. Six figures. Let's freaking go. Now, Max Keiser says he got some new intel and that Abu Dhabi is now the top contender for Mr. 100. I'll be breaking down this mystery, Unraveled, deciphering the $3 billion mystery. We're also going to be discussing the legal status of cryptocurrencies, specifically in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. We'll also be taking a look at the overall crypto market. All this, plus so much more in today's show. Yo, what's good, crypto fam? This is first and foremost a video show. So if you want the full premium experience with video, visit my YouTube channel at cryptonewsalerts.net. Again, that's cryptonewsalerts.net. So today is pod 1622. I'm your host, JV. It's April 27th, 2024. A beautiful day to be stacking M sats as Bitcoin is on sale right now, $600 in the past 24 hours. You can buy a Bitty for $63,300, so take advantage of it. But let's dive right into our market watch. As we do each and every day, you can see Coin360 pulling up right here on your screen. I guess let me refresh it. Yeah, we got Bitcoin down 1% on the day, maintaining above 63,400. Ether back in the green, surged 3%, trading above $3,250, while Solana, XRP, Cardano, and AVAX all correcting and in the red. And checking out coinmarketcap.com, we're sitting at a $2.33 trillion market cap with 54 billion worth of volume for the past 24 hours. Bitcoin dominance, same as yesterday, 53.3%. Ether dominance back on the rise at 16.5%. How high do you think this Bitcoin dominance will climb for the cycle? Let me know in that chat. And checking out top 100 crypto gainers for the past 24 hours. We got Optimism up 11%, Arweave up 9%, and Near Protocol up 7%. Below that, Starknet, Lido DAO, Uniswap, and Ether. Now, which particular alts are you guys most bullish on for this particular bull run? Holla and let me know. And checking out the crypto bubbles to get a visual perspective of the market on the day. Safe to say, I'd say 80 to 85% of the market correcting and in the red, with the smaller minority in the green. And zooming out on the monthly to get more of a broader perspective, man, Rex City in the alt market, only maybe five of the top 100 projects even in the green. And a lot of serious wreckage, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%, as you can see. And checking out Crypto Greed and Fear Index, you can see we're currently rated 67, greed, yesterday 70, last week 66, and last month an 80 in extreme greed. So there you have it. We only got a few more days left for April. Where do you feel the monthly April close will take us in the next few days as we approach the Hong Kong ETF launch date on the 30th? Our next story of the day, headline reads, Bitcoin price holds steady amid spot Bitcoin ETF outflows and an uptick in unfriendly regulation. Why they got to be so unfriendly with us Bitcoiners, man? Bitcoin held above 63 Gs on April 26th, despite facing a slew of negative influences. These included significant outflows from the Bitcoin ETFs over 2 days, heightened regulatory scrutiny marked by the U.S. Federal Bureau of Intelligence, that'd be the FBI, warning against unregistered crypto services and efforts by U.S. senators to scrutinize crypto transactions, referring to one and only Liz Warren. April 25th, spot Bitcoin ETFs in the U.S. saw a net outflow of 218 milli, which followed 120 million outflow the previous day, as reported by Farside. Notably, Franklin Templeton was the only provider to record inflows on April 25th, indicating the withdrawal trend cannot solely be attributed to the high fees at GBTC. Now, U.S. Senator Liz Warren and Bill Cassidy sent a letter on April 25th to the U.S. DOJ and Homeland Security. They sought details on measures being employed to tackle the issue of pseudonymity in crypto. Basically, they're going after our self-custody payments for child abuse material. Yeah, so they're now claiming that crypto is used for child abuse. The senators referred a report from Chainalysis emphasizing the need to punish those selling such illicit content. Now, Bitcoin bulls are drawing optimism from deteriorating global macroeconomic conditions, particularly after the U.S. PCE increased 2.8% year over year in March, the rise of inflation, which surpasses the target set by the Fed, particularly alarming given the U.S. GDP growth for the first quarter being lower than expected at 1.6%. These figures bolster market expectations that the Fed will maintain higher interest rates for an extended period, as reported by CNBC. And according to Lawrence McDonald, founder of the Bear Traps Report, interest payments as a percentage of federal spending in the U.S. are projected to increase to 12.3%. this year, up from 9.8% last year. And additionally, recent government bond auctions have shown a tepid response from investors, resulting in 5-year U.S. Treasury yield reaching its highest levels in nearly 6 months on April 25th. Bitcoin investors are wary of the unsustainable trajectory of U.S. government fiscal policies as the U.S. Fed faces another dilemma. Lowering the interest rates to alleviate the debt burden could lead to higher inflation, which would further strain consumers and businesses, leaving the Fed in a precarious position. Now, the deteriorating macroeconomic conditions extend beyond the U.S. to other major economies. On, for example, April 26, Japan, the world's fourth largest economy, witnessed a significant devaluation of its currency, the Japanese yen, reaching its lowest level since 1990. And additionally, the CPI for April showed 1.8% inflation rate, which was lower than expected, casting doubts on consumer strength, as reported by Reuters. And I even saw a chart comparing Bitcoin to the yen, and it shows you the yen has practically went to zero against BTC. And I think other fiat currencies are all likely going to do the same, just a matter of time. Now, we have Geiger Capital, who pointed out on X that the Bank of Japan is constrained from raising interest rates due to the country's staggering 265% debt to GDP ratio. And while a weaker yen benefits exports, it adversely affects domestic consumption. Crucially, as the largest holders of U.S. treasuries, Japanese investors' movements exert considerable pressure on the global economy. Now, ultimately, the Bitcoin price has been negatively affected by the outflows from the U.S. spot ETFs, regulatory pressures, and global economic turndowns. However, some analysts believe that the weaker global economic conditions may lead to additional stimulus measures by the central banks, which could be beneficial for Bitcoin, given its properties of scarcity and resistance the censorship. That's right. Another major bank went bust as well, which we'll get into here shortly. But I want to share some a tweet from Max Kaiser here. Bitcoin self-custody is respected in El Salvador. The right to self-custody fits in the category of inalienable human rights. All Bitcoin companies should consider moving to Bitcoin country in El Salvador. And he shared this off the back of the news that Zeus released a statement about the current attack on self-custody, saying, "We are not going anywhere." They, in fact, said, "We believe that Zeus is following the letter of the law right now. If the law changes or any judgments are made, we will make adjustments accordingly. If Zeus falls, all other Lightning node operators are next. If Lightning node operators fall, self-custody is next. This is the hill to die on, self-custody. If you don't agree, you were never in Bitcoin for the right reasons. So get behind us or go home. Future generations are watching and depending upon us always forward." Very powerful words right there. I mean, we got to protect self-custody. Clearly, we know Bitcoin separates money from state. So Bitcoin is enemy number one to the state. Would you agree? Let me know your thoughts on that. Breaking news. This just came and hit us yesterday. DTCC rules out collateral for Bitcoin-linked ETFs. That's right. The Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, known as the DTCC, a financial services company, provides clearing and settlement services for financial markets. They stated it will not allocate any collateral to the ETFs with exposure to Bitcoin or crypto and will not extend loans against them. So that means if you had $1 million in the ETF through the ETF and you wanted to borrow against it, they don't recognize it at all. That sucks. Now, DTCC's announcement states that effective April 30th, which is in 3 days, the DTCC will implement changes to collateral values for specific securities during its annual line of credit facility renewal, potentially affecting position values in the collateral monitor. This notice, released April 26th yesterday, means ETFs and similar investment instruments with Bitcoin or other cryptos as underlying assets will not be assigned any collateral value, resulting in a 100% reduction in their collateral value. Seems like an attack on crypto, if you're to ask me. Now, crypto enthusiast KO Crypto Walty clarified this would only apply to inter-entity settlement within the line of credit system. Now, a line of credit is a borrowing arrangement between a financial institution and an individual or entity that allows the borrower to draw funds up to a predetermined credit limit. The borrower can access these funds as needed and typically pays interest only on the borrowed amount. Now, according to this analyst, using crypto ETFs for lending as a collateral and brokerage activities will continue without impact, depending upon an individual's broker's risk tolerance. And while the DTCC has taken a stand against crypto ETFs, the same is not valid for other traditional players. For example, Goldman Sachs clients have begun re-entering the crypto market this year, driven by renewed interest following the approval of Bitcoin ETFs. The introduction of spot Bitcoin ETFs in the U.S. has spurred increasing institutional interest in this investment product. Within 3 months of their launch, all U.S.-based Bitcoin ETFs have accumulated $12.5 billion in assets under management, and in February, an estimated 75% of new Bitcoin investments came from the 10 spot Bitcoin ETFs approved in the U.S. January 11th. However, net inflows to the ETFs, as I shared earlier, have slowed down. Multiple ETF issuers reported significant outflows recently, and according to Farside, the spot Bitcoin ETFs in the U.S. saw a net outflow of $218 million April 25th, following $120 million outflow the previous day. Grayscale's GBTC ETF saw a notable single-day outflow of $82 million, and according to data from Farside, the total net outflow from GBTC is a substantial $17+ billion. So there you have it. How do you feel this will likely impact the ETF and financial markets for Bitcoiners holding their Bitcoin in an ETF, which now theoretically will have no collateral value? Let me know your thoughts. Anyways, fam, next story of the day. Another bank bites the dust. And another one down, and another one bites the dust. This time it's Republic First Bank, which officially got closed by the regulators. Here's what's popping. Regulators moan on. It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. JV was on the streets stacking BTC. United States regulators have closed Philadelphia-based Republic First Bank, marking the nation's first banking failure of this year. It's a biggie. It has sparked debate amongst crypto community amid Bitcoin, Ether, and several of the alts, slightly faltering following the news. Quoting the CEO of Zesh, Mariusz Martoscan here. Another bank just collapsed. And another one. And another. Yeah. The First Republic Bank. Yeah, I think I'll stick to Bitcoin. Amen. Republic First Bank's failure is worth a look, since bank failures are the best possible narrative we can get for crypto. Amen. Last year, first quarter, the whole market of crypto is driven by the regional banking crisis that got Bitcoin from the pits of hell back up above 30 G's, baby. Quoting them again, how many more need to fail before people start to be their own bank? Good question there. Now, after Republic First was seized by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities yesterday, April 26th, the FDIC was appointed the receiver. The agency will take on nearly all deposits and acquire all the assets of Republic Bank, according to the April 26th statement published by the FDIC. Now, Republic First had approximately $6 billion in total assets, along with $4 billion in total deposits as of January 31st. Furthermore, the bank's 32 branches across New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York will reopen under Fulton Bank's umbrella today, April 27th. Very interesting. So this is a Northeastern banking institution. Let me know if you've ever used this bank before. In 2023, even rumors of possible banking failures saw slight spikes of the Bitcoin price shortly after. However, its price has slightly declined following the news of First Republic. As you can see here, the Bitcoin market didn't react so positive. Meanwhile, the alts have been a slightly larger slump in the same time frame. Clearly, when Bitcoin dips, typically, the alts get wrecked on a whole new level. The news follows a rough year for the banking industry, with five banking failures recorded in the U.S. last year in 2023. And I think there's going to be personally many more banking failures this year in 2024. Let me know your thoughts on that. Now, the First Republic Bank, a separate entity with no affiliation to Republic First, was acquired by J.P. Morgan in May of 2023. After initial recovery, efforts failed. Go figure, as J.P. Morgan is the chosen bank, hence why it's the largest bank in the United States. In March of 2023, the Federal Reserve announced the closure of Signature Bank to protect the U.S. economy, citing systemic risks. Now it feels like deja vu, doesn't it? It came only days after Silicon Valley Bank was ordered to shut down. And a week prior, we had Silvergate Bank, another crypto-friendly bank, announcing it would close its doors and go into voluntarily liquidation. So there you have it. Let me know your thoughts. Do you trust the banks, right? Do you trust your bank right now is the million-dollar question. Do you think this can spark a domino effect of bank runs? And what if that were to occur, does the FDIC have the funds to pay back everybody? But next story of the day, we discussed the collapse of the Republic First Bank. Now let's discuss the six-figure Bitcoin price. According to this AI forecast, Bitcoin has a 6% chance of hitting 100 Gs, baby. So let's break this one down. Some forecasts. According to Spot On-Chain's report, the Bitcoin prices are expected to fluctuate between 56,000 and 70,000 during May, June, and July of this year. The projected range indicates a potential for the market volatility with a 48% probability assigned to the scenario where Bitcoin prices may dip below 60 Gs, baby. And speaking of 60 Gs.
60 Gs, baby!
Spot on Chain's analysis reveals a significant movement in the latter half of this year with a compelling 63% probability of Bitcoin reaching that six-figure milestone. 100 Gs, baby. Send it. This midterm projection reflects a prevailing bullish sentiment in the market, further fueled by an anticipated rate cut after the FOMC December 2023 meeting. Yeah, man. So looking ahead to the first half of 2025, Spot on Chain's modeling indicates a strong probability the Bitcoin will cross the $150,000 threshold. Specifically, a 42% probability is assigned to this scenario, indicating a bullish outlook for the Bitcoin price trajectory. Let me know if you agree with that, that we have a 42% probability of smashing 150 Gs. For this cycle. And what's more, looking at the entire year of 2025, the probability of Bitcoin exceeding 150,000 rises to an eye-popping 70%. Now we're talking. Based on historical data and patterns in previous cycles, Bitcoin reached a new all-time high approximately 6 to 12 months after the halving event. And for this particular cycle, we broke the previous all-time high pre-halving for the first time in Bitcoin history. So let me know your thoughts with some of these predictions and probabilities of 100 Gs, 150 Gs. Next story of the day, let's discuss another 100 G target. Headline reads, Bitcoin raises the bull flag. Formation triggers calls for 100 Gs, baby. That's right. A bull flag recently formed on the Bitcoin chart, raising the possibility of a trend reversal soon enough as Bitcoin makes significant moves to the upside. This analyst suggests that the crypto can rise as high as 100 Gs, baby, when it makes the move. Let's make the move then. We have Dennis Baca, head of product at Zyvo Finance, noted that the bull flag formation on the Bitcoin daily chart historically suggests that the crypto token is primed for more upsides, and added that the bullish pattern is shaping up nicely and the Bitcoin could potentially shoot up towards 100 Gs once declining volumes pick back up. However, the analyst suggested that Bitcoin can drop below 60 Gs before it makes such a parabolic move. He alluded to how the crypto token historically retests the support level of the 20-week small moving average. Simple moving average in May. This can cause Bitcoin to drop to 56,000 as a bottom, at least so he claimed, as outlined here in the chart. Now, he also opined that such price dip could be healthy for Bitcoin before it experiences the reversal. He elaborated that these dips offer solid buying opportunities, BTFD. Now, crypto analyst Mikey Bull Crypto shared his thoughts on what this bullish pattern could mean for Bitcoin. Quoting him here, Bitcoin on the daily chart forming a bull continuation pattern, as he shared on X. And according to the Wyckoff law of cause and effect, the longer the consolidation, the more explosive the markup will be. So patience, young grasshoppers. He also hinted that the next leg up could be a massive, as he alluded to the Wyckoff's law of cause and effect, stating that the longer the consolidation, the more explosive the market will be, as outlined here in the chart. And we have another analyst over at Nexo who remarked that any potential price rise for Bitcoin is unlikely to be realized without a catalyst, noting that the flagship crypto managed to build resilient support at 64,000, but without any catalyst, it will merely continue to trade at around the $67,000 range. So there you go. Now for our feature story of the day, the latest from Max Keiser, the high priest of Bitcoin. He says, got some new intel. Abu Dhabi is now the top contender, referring to Mr. 100, who now has over 50,000 biddies on their balance sheet. So let's start right here with the infamous tweet he shared on April 10th. Just got some new intel. Abu Dhabi is now the top contender. This was in reference to this tweet where he posted a flag of Qatar because initially he believed that this nation, who was secretly purchasing all of this Bitcoin known as Mr. 100, could have been Qatar over there in the Middle East, but he updated us. And again, at this time, they had over 59,000 Bitcoin. So by now, they have a lot more. And so he updated us saying Abu Dhabi is now the top contender because he got some inside information. He also tweeted 220,000 in play. The mystery sovereign buyer, Abu Dhabi, most likely will soon be revealed. Do you think that will be revealed? And as that reveal comes, will we hit 220,000 per Bitcoin? Let me know your thoughts. And I want to read some headlines for you. Unraveling the mystery, Qatar's role in the 3.3 billion Bitcoin investment rumors. Did Qatar buy the biddies? Deciphering the $3 billion mystery. Huge, if true, 100,000 Bitcoin god candle. Qatar eyes multi-billion dollar Bitcoin investment. The rumor has it they're sitting on a $500 billion sovereign wealth fund, according to Max Keiser. And another headline, more recent, the legal status of cryptocurrencies in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Now, I'm going to share with you a mix of some of this information. So let's start with the first article here. I'm going to read you some of the highlights. Now, Max Keiser, he initially started leaking some thoughts that this God candle was in play. So let's start with where it all began. Right here, we're going to go to CryptoX. It should be opening up right here. Yeah. So he wrote this on December 3rd, a few months ago. The God Candle, a 100,000 uptick in Bitcoin is in play. It will shift the global access of wealth and power in one tick. And he continued, I have one word for you. $100,000 Bitcoin, God Candle fans. Qatar. The rumors are getting very loud on this. Their sovereign wealth fund rumored to be looking to buy $500 billion worth of BTC. And it wasn't just talk. Qatar, right? Their princes, emirates, whoever you refer to them as, their leaders did meet up with Nayib Bukele late last year. And it kind of went under the radar. But here's an actual photo of the Emir with Bukele shaking his hand, and you can see their jet right there. And he also updated us December 6th, Max. He said, to add clarity, my source said, Bitcoin makes our $500 billion sovereign wealth fund effectively worthless. We should just convert all of it into Bitcoin. Now, just hypothetically speaking, how crazy would that be if a wealthy nation such as a Qatar actually converted $500 billion into Bitcoin? Is it even possible? Is there even that much Bitcoin available? Probably not. But what if that was the ultimate goal or outcome or target, right? Because clearly, there's only so much Bitcoin available on the exchanges. I think they say roughly 1.8 million, but maybe it's a long-term strategy. And maybe Mr. 100 could be Qatar or Abu Dhabi. We currently don't know, but hopefully we find out here soon. So yeah, a Bitcoin Archive pointed out here. This are some of the reasons he was bullish on this. And shout out to the Bitcoin Archive. The Emir of Qatar visited El Salvador in September. That's when it initially began. That's why Max put it is happening. Number two, Qatar private jet in Madeira, which is ultimately in Portugal during the Bitcoin conference, which was more recent, a couple of months ago. You can see the jet right there. So, and then you have someone stacking sats like a madman. Next day, Bitcoin breaks 65,000. Probably nothing. And that was right. That was right off the back of them meeting up, which makes it that much more interesting. Now, let's get back to our stories here. The Emir of Qatar just landed in El Salvador. The agenda, Bitcoin legal tender, mining and Bitcoin bonds, infrastructure investments. What are your thoughts? I mean, clearly, if they're linking up, they're probably discussing something Bitcoin related, I would imagine. But that's why I want to know your thoughts, family. Do let me know. Let's see if I can pull up any more of these tweets. Yeah, I have one word for you, the 100,000 Bitcoin God Candle. Now, we define a God Candle, you can say it's just a $10,000 uptick, but when Max references it, he's referring to a $100,000 uptick in which he defined. Now, we also can call the $100,000 candle a Omega Candle, as per Samson Mao, his definitions for these candles, just FYI. But now I actually want to read to you the legal status of cryptos in Saudi Arabia and Qatar, because I've never read this before, and I saw this was published less than 2 weeks ago, so this is pretty new. And I'm going to read you some of the highlights of this article. Saudi Arabia and Qatar share common concerns regarding crypto, including their inherent volatility, potential and misuse in illicit activity, and the lack of established consumer protections. However, their approaches to addressing these concerns are much different. Saudi Arabia continues to adopt a cautious stance, warning about potential risks of holding off on enacting a complete prohibition. In contrast, Qatar has taken a more stringent approach, banning all crypto-related activities in the Qatar financial center sector. Now let's dive a little deeper. The legality of Bitcoin and other cryptos in Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, the regulatory framework surrounding crypto is marked by a blend of caution and forward thinking. The Saudi Arabian Monetary Authority is at the forefront of monitoring the crypto transactions, focusing on regulatory environment that aims to protect investors while fostering financial stability. Now, the SAMA works to achieve a balance between caution and innovation. Crypto has quasi-legal status in Saudi Arabia. Back in 2018, the government restricted banks from assisting with any crypto-related transactions. Authorities have repeatedly stated that people who trade crypto have no financial protections and could be risking their investments. And at present, there are no recognized legal consequences for anyone who chooses to interact with digital assets of any kind. However, Saudi Arabia's unclear legal position presents a challenge for potential crypto investors, discouraging them from engaging in crypto trading because they fear possible legal repercussions. Now, is crypto Sharia compliant? Sharia law is a body of Islamic principles guiding Muslims in moral, ethical, and legal matters, and covering aspects of daily life, including finance. Now, Sharia emphasizes fairness, avoiding excessive risk, and having real-world assets to back transactions, and plays a significant role in shaping Islamic finance and can influence views on new financial concepts, such as crypto. So whether cryptos like Bitcoin align with Sharia principles is a complex matter for Islamic scholars. Some view the excessive price fluctuations of cryptos as problematic because it encourages speculation similar to gambling, which is illegal under Sharia law. Now, I would personally say Bitcoin is not gambling, but I can definitely see the sentiment on coining cryptos in general as gambling because there's millions of cryptos, and that's precisely why people invest in them. They're gambling. Now, cryptos lack intrinsic value and reliance on market demand, creating uncertainty, which is also discouraged in Islamic finance. Now, due to the lax regulation, there are worries about crypto's potential for illegal activity. However, do note, its decentralized structure fits perfectly with the fundamental tenet of Islamic finance, eliminating centralized authority. Additionally, the transparent nature of the blockchain tech could promote values of fairness and accountability central to Sharia. Now, nonetheless, for now, the status of cryptos as Sharia compliant investments in Saudi is uncertain. However, more recently, the top leader of all of this came out and he actually pretty much said that Bitcoin is in accordance to their, you know, laws and that they recommended it. And I know I covered this maybe a couple of months ago here on the podcast. I forget that guy's name, but the head of all this came out and basically said it's compliant. Now, Qatar, let's speak about them. On the other hand, their restrictive measures against crypto activities, Qatar stands out with its decidedly restrictive approach towards crypto. The country's stance stems from concerns about investor protection, potential financial instability, and the risk of using crypto for illicit activities. Now, the QFCRA stance on cryptos versus security tokens. A report issued by the Qatar Financial Regulatory Authority in 2020 marked a significant shift in the country's approach to crypto, declaring a ban on all crypto-related activities within the Qatar Financial Center. And this sweeping ban encompassed core aspects of the crypto market, explicitly prohibiting crypto-to-crypto trading, crypto-to-fiat exchanges, and any services facilitating the trading, custody, or issuance of digital assets. This ban severely restricts the possibility of widespread crypto acceptance and investments within Qatar's borders. Now, the key word I'm focused on when I'm reading this is crypto, as crypto is a collective of every single cryptocurrency in the market, a very generic term, whereas Bitcoin is specific, decentralized, and I think these countries are all slowly but surely embracing it right now, but they may be some crypto bans. Kind of like think of it in El Salvador, where Bitcoin is legal tender. We have the largest stablecoin, USDT, also legal tender, but all the other cryptos are ultimately banned. So maybe something similar, depending upon how they define some of this. But now let's break down Qatar's religious context and Sharia perspectives on crypto. When evaluating whether cryptos are permissible, the religious setting of Qatar adds another level of difficulty to the government ban. Several fundamental tenets of Sharia law cast doubt on the compatibility of cryptos. Many Sharia scholars contend that for a currency or asset to be deemed halal, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, it should be backed by a tangible asset or real economic activity. So Bitcoin clearly would be an example of permissible, and many of these altcoins I don't think would fit whatsoever. Young Saudis eye a crypto future awaiting regulatory clarity. Crypto is the advent of a new and equitable monetary system. Governments across the world view it differently and take action accordingly. For example, El Salvador recognized Bitcoin as legal tender, being the first country to do so. Shout out Bukele. Some governments treat crypto as a commodity or property, but don't recognize it as legal tender, while others have banned cryptos altogether. Now, with cryptos, regulators identify risks like financial and macro instability, fraudulent behavior, and criminal funding. So the objective of the cautious and restrictive approach of the Saudi Arabia and Qatar regulators is to ensure that risks are covered and prevent any negative implications for the economy. So there you go. Now check this out. Excuse me. Young adults more inclined towards crypto trading in Saudi Arabia. It shows you, you can see the breakdown from the age ranges. So with countries like Dubai taking the lead and setting up a regulatory framework for crypto. Now, keyword, Dubai setting up regulatory framework for crypto. What I just mentioned earlier, Max Kaiser, his top contender, Abu Dhabi. Now, obviously, Abu Dhabi is in the UAE along with Dubai. So maybe there's something to that on setting this up right now. Now, the futures of crypto regulations in Saudi Arabia and Qatar, even though they ultimately impose strict regulations, Bitcoin is compliant. The way they define it all, and again, we had the head, I forget the guy's name, the head of all this that follows everything and sets up, you know, all this stuff. Yeah, if you know that guy's name, let me know, but I forget. But anyways, in a nutshell, let me know who you think Mr. 100 is. Do you think that is Abu Dhabi, Max's top contender? Do you think it could be Qatar? Could it be the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia? Or could we be completely left field on this? And could it be another nation, not even on our radar right now? Or could it be a individual such as a billionaire like Jeff Bezos? Nobody really knows, but speculation has it, it's an undisclosed nation. Even Edward Snowden, the whistleblower, came out maybe a month or so ago, which we covered on the pod a few times, and said he believes a nation is secretly purchasing Bitcoin behind the scenes and will soon announce it. That's right in alignment with what the insights that, you know, Max Kaiser has as well. I think we're going to see mass adoption, obviously, out of the Middle East. We're starting to see it not only in the United States with the ETF inflow since January 11th, with them now collectively having 850,000 Bitcoin in like 3 months. But now you're getting the ETFs launch out of Hong Kong over there in Asia, big money in Asia. And yeah, what about the Middle East? What if these nations adopt Bitcoin as the legal tender, whether it's directly or indirect exposure to the king crypto? How do you feel that would likely impact the Bitcoin market? And what if they say, hey, yeah, Mr. 100 is Abu Dhabi. We have plans of buying X amount of billions worth of Bitcoin. We just started. That alone can drive the price action through the roof. And in my opinion, more than likely why there hasn't been any official announcement, because they want to keep buying on the low. I think the people purchasing, and especially the whales, the people purchasing up the biddies right now, they're loving the discount on Bitcoin. Just more reason to buy more. For example, if you were sitting on billions of dollars, hypothetically speaking, would you rather buy most of your Bitcoin at sub 70,000, or would you rather spend more than 100,000 per coin? You know what I mean? Big difference there. So let me know your thoughts. And who do you think Mr. 100 is? Drop a comment right down below, and let's read some of these comments out loud. And don't forget to check out CryptoNewsAlerts.net for the full premium experience with video and to participate in our live Q&A. And I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's episode. HODL.